Welcome back to Ridiculous Ramblings, loves. I'm your host, Amy. It's Monday, March 3rd, and time for another new week and a new month. Hopefully everyone had a great weekend and your Monday has been kind. Man, this year is flying by so fast. I barely get used to writing 2025, and then the month is already over. We'll be sending out that "What are you bringing for Thanksgiving dinner?" text again real soon. I need to text everyone. Are you ready for today's show? If you answered yes, then let's get to it. Wait, let's pump the brakes for a minute. Before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to say this. Everyone is entitled to their own opinions. And while we are still free to share our opinions, mine will be sprinkled throughout today's episode. These are my own thoughts, not influenced by outside sources, just the inside of my little mind. Everybody in? Seatbelts buckled? Alrighty, now let's get to it. For real this time. I was talking to someone this weekend and the topic of childbirth came up. I don't watch a lot of movies, but I do keep up with a few TV shows. One of my favorites is Call the Midwife. It's originally based on the memoirs of Jennifer Wirth, who worked with the community of St. John the Divine, an Anglican religious order, at their convent in the East End in London. This order was founded as a nursing establishment in 1849. One thing that struck me, and I had to look it up, was an episode where one of the title characters came to her husband and told him she thought she was pregnant and she needed his permission. Yes, his signed permission. There was a form that had to be filled out for her to have a pregnancy test ran. We've come so far. Only to be threatened to be sent right back to the days of June and Ward. There's nothing wrong with being a stay-at-home wife, if that's what you choose. But I fear it's the only job a woman will be qualified for in the very near future. If that's the best we have to hope for, it's not promising for anyone else. But I digress. Before the little missus had to ask for permission, it made me wonder, were there other ways women could tell if they were pregnant, except for the obvious lack of amp flow showing up? Thanks to our good friends at Google, not endorsing the show. In ancient Egypt, women would urinate on wheat or barley seeds. If the seeds sprouted, it indicated pregnancy. While ancient Greece observed changes in urine color or froth, and in Chinese medicine, pulse and tongue examinations were used to assess pregnancy. So, when did the pregnancy test we've all come to know come to be? In 1928, Selmer Aschheim and Bernard Zondek discovered human chorionic gonadotropin, HCG, in the urine of pregnant women. But it would still take some time before the at-home pregnancy test came around. In the 1930s, they had the AZ test, which is kind of gross. Sorry, guys. It was developed, and this is where a pregnant woman's urine was injected into a mouse or rabbit. If the animal showed signs of heat, it indicated pregnancy. In the 1940s, didn't get much better. The Xenopause test used a frog to detect HCG. Those poor animals. Thankfully, science advanced and they were free to roam peacefully back into nature. Because in the 1960s, scientists discovered immunoassay-based tests, which use antibodies to detect HCG in urine samples. And not just any scientist, ladies and gentlemen, but a female scientist. In 1967, Margaret Crane developed the first commercially available home pregnancy test called the Predictor. And just a few years later, Other home pregnancy tests, such as early decision and EPT, were released. These tests were initially less accurate than laboratory tests, but they made pregnancy detection more accessible and private for women. No permission slips necessary. We are women. Hear us roar. Fast forward to the future, and today, home pregnancy tests are highly accurate and can detect a pregnancy as early as a few days before your missed period. But why stop at two little pink or blue lines? Now we have digital pregnancy tests, which provide a numerical result indicating the level of HCG present. Now we're working on point-of-care testing devices that can provide instant pregnancy results. That's pretty cool. So now that we know there's a bun in the oven, what's the next step? A trip to the OBGYN for pregnancy confirmation and an ultrasound. Well, maybe not at your first visit, but shortly after your first appointment. Before ultrasounds were available, doctors would go by the baby's heart rate to determine the sex of the baby. If it was over 140 beats per minute, you were having a baby girl. If it was below 140 beats per minute, you were carrying a bouncing baby boy. The first medical use of ultrasound was in 1956 by Ian Donald, an obstetrician in Glasgow, Scotland. He used ultrasound to measure the diameter of a fetus's head. This marked the beginning of the use of ultrasound in obstetrics and other medical fields. When my mom was pregnant with me, my aunt, hey Nanny, was pregnant with my cousin Anthony, hey Anthony. My mom was at one of her routine appointments, and when they were in the room listening to my heartbeat, the doctor said, oh, it's in the, 130s. So he told them that it looked like they were going to have a little boy. Well, surprise, surprise. He told my aunt that she was going to have a girl. I'm wondering if anyone checked this doctor's credentials. If I would have been a boy, I would have been little Ricky. Mom and dad weren't too keen on the doctor's suggestion of Guido. Again, did anyone check this man's credentials? Of course not. He was a man. But I've always been a tomboy. I mean, I can be feminine and girly when I need to, but I would rather have my beanie and a hoodie over a dress and heels any day. Unless there are skulls on said dress and heels, which I do have a pair of heels that have skulls on them. They're really cool. Otherwise, I'd rock that stuff on the daily. My Aunt Joyce once told my mom, you know, Amy's the best son that Rick could have ever asked for. I mean, she wasn't wrong. I can use power tools effectively and efficiently. I throw a mean spiral. And when I throw you the keys, they don't land on the top of the roof, Angie. When I was researching for today's episode, Facebook decided to give me a little help and another point to discuss. Want a baby, but don't want a baby daddy? Cryos International has got you covered. No need to go to the sperm bank. Have the sperm bank come to you. With Cryos International, you can purchase your own at-home insemination kit. And people get grossed out by breast milk being in the freezer? Think about it. Now that we're waddling like a penguin and eating pickles and ice cream, what's next? Well, loves, it's time to push it. Push it real good. Or have a C-section. Birth is birth, no matter which way the baby is delivered. Don't let anyone make you feel like you took the easy way out. Anyone who says that clearly doesn't know how a C-section works. An episiotomy, that's way easier than having your lower abdomen cut open and having a baby pulled out of it. The recovery time, the scar, the permanent belly pooch. Educate yourselves before you tell someone they took the easy way out. Now it's time to head to the delivery room. You know, the practice of allowing men in the delivery room has gradually evolved over time. In the 1900s, men were generally not allowed in the delivery room due to medical and social reasons. 50 years later, some hospitals began allowing men in the labor room, but not the delivery room. Labor room, delivery room, what's the difference? The labor room is usually your hospital room where you're allowed to labor. And then delivery is usually when you go back into like a sterile, you know, medical, not kind of like an operating room, but not really an operating room, a procedure room per se. And that's where you do your delivery. So there is a difference. By the 1960s, the trend of allowing men in the labor room increased, which led to some hospitals allowing men into the delivery room. By the 1970s, it became more common for men to be present in the delivery room. And thanks to the natural childbirth movement, which advocated for fathers to be more involved in the birthing process, it became more common for men to be present in both the labor and delivery room. Today, in the 21st century, most hospitals allow men in the delivery room, and it is considered a common and accepted practice. Childbirth has had such archaic roots. I am so thankful for modern day advances where there is a higher success rate for labor and delivery for both mom and baby. Even if a certain person is trying to set us back into the dark ages. You want to attack people for not wearing a suit, but your doge, which looks like dog with an E on it, which is how children are going to think dog is spelled if you defund our education program, wears a t-shirt every time y'all are together. At least Zelensky's shirt still has buttons on it, and you can't see any weird man nipples through it. I said what I said. In other news that's ugly, but a different kind of ugly, here is your reminder to check out Bumpin' Ugly's March concert lineup. We's the juice. Let the dope reggae vibes of BU take you away. March 12th in Greenville, South Carolina with Treehouse. March 13th in Savannah, Georgia. And March 14th through March 16th at the Reggae Rise Up, Florida in St. Petersburg, Florida. Oh, and March 16th in Fort Walton Beach with the Bastard Sons. I'll release more March tour dates once we get to that like middle line so we can finish up the month of March. So if you want to check them out yourself, or you know, you want to go get your tickets or some pretty sweet merch, you can head on over to www.bumpinuglysmusic.com to grab your tickets now. Do you know why I love Bumpin' Uglies? Because their music has a message and they support what is right. Love, peace, and acceptance for everyone. Hardest Ian Harcombe, 2028. Come on, Uglies Nation, let's wave that flag. Well, I think that about does it for today. I hope wherever you're listening from, you're doing well. These times are uncertain, but one thing I know, I love y'all. From the bottom of my heart, I truly mean that. We're all in this together. If you want to reach out, please do. You can contact me through the show's Facebook page, or you can send me a message to the show's website, www.ridiculousramblings.com, or you can email me at ridiculousramblings@gmail.com. It doesn't have to be a comment, topic for discussion, or just a hey girl, hey. It can be an I'm worried and I need someone to talk to. I am all ears, loves. I'd like to give a special thanks to Auntie C for her guidance and expert editorial skills for today's episode. I hope y'all have a great week, and I will see you back here on Friday. Remember, loves, opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one. Hopefully sharing mine doesn't make you think I am one or makes you act like one. Until next time, ta-ta for now. Okay, love you. Bye.